This is Bold Women on the Move, the show for migrant women making their way in New Zealand and across the world. With your host, Morenike. Welcome, welcome, dear listeners, to another episode of Bold Women on the Move. And of course, back to our project now that we are here. Wow, this is the fourth episode in the series that we started about now that we are here. We had first looked at the issue of policing in New Zealand, and now we've started looking at the healthcare system in New Zealand. And of course, this is an extensive discussion. This is the second part of that particular talk. So if you've missed any aspect of the previous talk, you can head on to Plains FM 96.9, or you go on to Spotify right where you're listening to this podcast. You can catch up on the past episode. Now today we continue our conversation with Dr. Olushola. There are of course some important things that often come out when you talk about healthcare, especially in New Zealand. Issues like your visa type, what sort of benefit do you start to gain? So let's just sit back and learn more about the key things we need to be aware as new migrants into the New Zealand society. Happy listening. Welcome back. We're already doing justice to the issue of the health system in New Zealand. And I'm sure there is a lot that we've unpacked and there is more to come. So now let's look at this critical part, visa. Of course, we are coming into, for example, I arrive with a student visa.
Yeah.
Some people come in with a work visa. Mm-hmm. Some come with a residency visa. Okay, some are already citizens. How does this impact on your access to the health system in New Zealand?
That's a very important question.
very.
So I would imagine that most migrants would come in with either a student visa or a work visa, or a resident visa, depending on the pathway.
Mm.
I know my husband came in with a resident visa because of the pathway that he applied for.
Yeah.
So the question of who is eligible for publicly funded health and disability services in New Zealand, this was one I had to do a bit of research on so that I'm giving you the right information. And I have taken this list from the Health New Zealand Te Whatu Ora website. Mm. It's called the Eligibility Checklist and Decision Tree. Mm.
Yeah, we were on the visa types and the conversation. Yeah,
so who is eligible for publicly funded health and disability services in New Zealand? First of all, if you are a New Zealand citizen, then you are eligible. If you are a New Zealand resident class visa holder, then you are also eligible for the full range of publicly funded health and disability services. If you hold a New Zealand work visa, and this is the caveat, your work visa must be valid for 2 or more consecutive years for you to be eligible for the full range of health and disability services. So it's not just having a work visa. It's ensuring that your work visa allows you to...
A minimum.
Yeah. It's a minimum of consecutive years. There is what's called the interim visa. So if you are currently an interim visa holder, but while you are on the interim visa, if your previous visa allowed you to be eligible for healthcare services in New Zealand, then you will continue to be eligible for the duration of your interim visa. But this is one way I would say it's always best to check with your immigration officer.
Or advisor
as to what you are eligible for. The next group of eligibility is if you're a refugee or a protected person, or if you're a victim of people trafficking, then you are eligible for the full range of publicly funded health and disability services. If you are a student, and I can narrow this down to PhD or master's students, which most people would be, as migrants in...
Or even undergraduates. We have some international students.
Who are undergraduates.
Who are undergraduates,
true.
Yeah.
Ideally, you'll be expected to have your own private health insurance.
Yes. Well, most students have health insurance.
That's one that if you do not have a health insurance, I would strongly advise that you do get private health insurance if you're on a student visa. And so what you'll be eligible for will depend on what your insurance policy covers. I know for PhD students, I don't know if it applies to everyone on a student visa, but the partner of a PhD student will usually have a work visa.
We'll have a work visa.
And so if their work visa is valid for 2 or more years.
Yeah, but the work visa is dependent on if the student visa is for 1 year or for 2 years.
Exactly. So if your partner's work visa is for 2 years or more, then they will be eligible. It's really just being aware of what your visa status is and making sure you kind of like you
now break down that phrase eligible. What does it mean to be eligible? So, what does that cover? What do you benefit from being eligible?
So being eligible means that your GP visits will be subsidized. I know we all pay for GP visits, but
when you go in, you still pay for GP visits.
Even what we pay for is subsidized.
Okay.
Being eligible means that your dental visits for your children less than 18 will be covered.
Covered. Yeah. Okay. That's fully covered.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There are some special circumstances which I will get to in a minute. Yeah.
Okay.
The last main group that really relates to us as migrants. Mm. I had to like distill the document down to what's important to us. And we kind of mentioned this before, but I'm just going to touch upon it again.
Yeah.
If you're pregnant and you have any of the above visas that make you eligible, then you will be eligible.
Okay.
So if you're a pregnant woman and you have New Zealand citizenship or a resident class visa holder, then of course you'd be eligible. Or if you have the work visa that's valid for 2 or more years. If you are pregnant and you are the partner of someone with a visa that's eligible for publicly funded health and disability services, then that applies to you
applies to you for
the duration of the pregnancy.
Okay.
There is one thing to note, because some of us have either come from... Not everybody has come from African countries.
Not
all migrants have come directly from African countries. Some people have come from other countries.
Asia, Europe.
Or you would know of people who are in the US, for example. So specifically, what I'm trying to say is that being born in New Zealand does not automatically grant you citizenship.
I get that point now. Okay.
So you would have to have at least one parent who is either a New Zealand citizen or who is a New Zealand resident class visa holder for your child.
Unlike in the US.
For your child to become a New Zealand citizen. So New Zealand is not one of those places that you...
Once you give birth, the child say, automatically... Citizenship by birth.
So it would be citizenship by descent because...
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Because your parents are already resident. Yeah.
Either permanent or just resident visa.
As long as you are a resident visa.
Okay.
And what else? So on the flip side, it means if you got a work visa, then your child would have a work visa. Or if you're on a student visa, then your child would most likely have the visa that you've got. unless you are a citizen or a resident, and then there will be a citizen as well.
Okay. So we still haven't gotten to that part of eligibility. We know we've looked at visa type, but I think we should touch on it, because we were talking about health insurance.
Yep.
And even though I'm eligible for the healthcare system, and you mentioned that if you have certain insurance, then you can access healthcare system faster. You can access certain care system faster. Like, I know that, I think I've had instances of maybe people that got diagnosed for certain diseases, and the level of care that they are able to access depends on their insurance cover. Can you clarify that aspect? I don't think it's really automatic. Now you are on a resident visa. Now that you're eligible to the healthcare system in New Zealand. But what is the extent of how much will the New Zealand government cover from your healthcare bill? That's just the question.
I'm trying to understand your question. So
does it mean as long as you're sick, no matter the bill? Because, okay, you know, you talk about, okay, I'll give you an example. You remember in the new national government, that in the recent released policies, they had to go back to the tables and say, okay, now we have agreed that some of this medication will be publicly funded.
Yeah.
You understand? Some cancer medications, mm-hmm. some different ranges of cancer medications. So it gets tricky. And these are all for not just people on resident or work visa. These are even for citizens. Now, where does it get tricky? To what extent is that funding? Where are you left on your own? Where are you left in the lurch?
So I'm going to start by saying that. It's not straightforward
for
when it starts getting intricate like that. You would need to go on to the Ministry of Health websites and see what actually pertains to you. It's not every single thing that's covered.
That is covered.
It's just what's most common.
Okay.
So your GP visits are subsidized, your dental care for your children are subsidized or even free. Maternity care is free if you're eligible. So that's something that could cost you thousands of dollars if you weren't eligible and you were pregnant in New Zealand. Hospital visits is free if you're eligible.
Yeah.
So a hospital night stay can cost between $1,000 or $5,000. Mm-hmm. So that's something.
When I was on student visa, we were given a bill of $3,000
exactly.
a night.
Yeah. So that's something that you would get for free if you're eligible. Mm. So that's something. Most secondary care provision is covered.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you have the right visa and you're eligible for the publicly funded healthcare, then if you have to present to the hospital, for example, then that's covered. I should mention, as part of, or maybe you're going to ask me
because we will get to that stage of cost implication, and I think we're already hammering on that question of cost implication. Can you just explain to us, now when people have complicated health issue, you know, beyond just headache, pain and all that you see your GP, complicated health issues that require extensive health care, who pays for it? What are the cost implications?
It depends.
Mental breakdown.
Okay. That brings me to the special circumstances.
I was coming
to that. So part of the eligibility.
Yeah.
There are groups of people that fall under special circumstances.
Okay.
And if these people will be eligible for treatment regardless of their citizenship or immigration status.
Okay. Thank you for that.
So the first main group that is probably mostly relevant to migrant women would be if you're a HIV-infected pregnant woman.
Okay.
So if you're pregnant and you're HIV-infected, then you will have free access to maternity services in New Zealand, regardless of your visa status.
Okay, good.
You would have access to blood tests, you would have a hospital-based midwife that you can see regularly. Mm. You would have a funded course of the antiretroviral medications. That's the medications that you need to help keep your viral load low.
Yeah.
You'll be able to access that free. For the duration of the pregnancy, I think there are certain organizations that are also able to actually fund these antiretroviral medications even beyond pregnancy. But if we're just keeping it within who is eligible for what, if you've got HIV and you're pregnant, you will have funding for your medications that you need during the course of your pregnancy. You'll also have free access to information around safe alternatives to breastfeeding. You may have access to a cesarean section and also the post-cesarean section care and hospitalization.
Mm.
And your postnatal hospital visits for your child. So if you're pregnant and you have HIV, you would have free access to maternity services in New Zealand, regardless of your visa status. And this includes access to blood tests, a hospital-based midwife. You'd have access to a funded course of the antiretroviral medications that you need for the duration of your pregnancy. There will be information around safe alternatives to breastfeeding, and you would have free access to a cesarean section and post-cesarean section hospitalization as part of the wraparound care of pregnancy and HIV. Mm. Your newborn child would have postnatal hospital visits funded to help determine their HIV status. And then management can go based on the results of that. So that's a special group. And if anybody falls under that group, then you should not be afraid to contact your midwife or talk to your GP, and they can arrange for you to access services.
Okay.
So that's one thing that's...
How about visitors' visas? What extent of eligibility do they have to the New Zealand healthcare system?
Do you mean visitors'
visa? Those on visitors' visa, yeah. You're here, like I think I see some, some ethnic family have their elderly ones, like father, mother, come for a visit, and they're on visitors' visas, and then they have, health issues, complication. What happens to them? How do they access?
So if you fall under this special category, then you will have access to the things outlined under the special circumstances, regardless of whether you're on a visitor's visa or on a work visa.
Okay.
If it's about the other services, then most people on visitor's visa they do not qualify for publicly funded services.
You
will have to pay out of pocket if you need to present to the hospital, for example.
Mm.
Unless you have insurance. That's a good reason to have insurance.
So does it mean that for people bringing over their elderly parents, for a visit, they need to ensure they get a travel insurance for them?
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
For the duration of staying in the country.
Depending on the medical history of your elderly relatives. If your elderly relatives are people who already have a known medical condition that need ongoing medical care. Then it's a good idea to have some form of insurance just to cover.
Thank you so much.
No worries.
We're covering. Yeah. You're listening to Bold Women on the Move, kindly brought to you with support from the Ratu Foundation and Ministry of Ethnic Communities. Listen to Bold Women on the Move wherever you're going. Subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and plays.org.nz. So still on cost implication, we started hearing this phrase. I mean, this word. Is it phrase, word, or how do I call it? ACC. ACC.
Yeah.
What does it mean? What is ACC?
So,
we didn't have ACC in my country, so what is it?
ACC is one of those that fall under the special category.
Special category, yeah.
So ACC stands for Accident Compensation Cooperation. Mm. It's a New Zealand initiative, basically.
It's a beautiful one.
Yeah, it's I think we're pretty lucky to have it. So
yeah.
With ACC, it's a no-fault scheme that covers everyone in the event of an injury that results from an accident.
Okay.
So that's where the A comes from. So you have to have sustained that injury following an accident.
Okay.
So they don't just cover any type of illness. It has to be an accident.
Accident, yeah. Okay.
And everyone is covered. So ACC covers everyone regardless of your visa status.
Okay.
If you have an injury. And previously it used to be just that, but since 1st of October 2022, ACC actually now also covers injury that occurs during childbirth.
Oh, that's
so
it.
Yes.
Oh,
so okay. There range of injuries that can happen, but
yeah,
probably
like
the most
tears,
common would be
tears,
yeah, would
mostly?
Be tears, yeah. And yeah. So if you're needing follow-up care, like physiotherapy visits or just follow-up management following that, then ACC, you should talk to your GP.
Okay.
So your GP would be the most likely person to apply to ACC for you.
For you.
Yeah.
Okay. And can you give us other examples of accidents that common accident that we often wouldn't know that ACC will cover?
So the first one off the top of my head would be like workplace injury.
Yeah, so we were talking about ACC, how relevant it is to the New Zealand system.
So yes, ACC is a very important part of the New Zealand healthcare system. Like I said, it's the no-fault scheme that covers everybody.
Okay.
Regardless of your visa status, regardless of your of whether you're working or you're unemployed, ACC will cover you if you sustain an injury resulting from an accident. Mm. And this now also includes any injuries sustained during childbirth since the 1st of October 2022. Mm. There is a long list of conditions that are covered by ACC, but really just to summarize, ACC will cover injury that result from sexual violence. They would cover dental injury that occurs accidentally.
Mm.
ACC will cover workplace injury. They should cover workplace injury. You need to like always just confirm or check with your healthcare
provider. Who determine what is covered? Is it a GP that determine? I had a case of a colleague at work, and she actually sprained her leg, and she went to her GP, but she said she couldn't determine when she sprained her leg. But it's a sprain. Okay, it wasn't a pre-existing condition. But the GP didn't rule it as ACC.
Hmm.
Yeah, and people were now like, oh, maybe you should have said you sprained it at this particular time. Then they would have said, so why does it get complicated? Who determines
what
is
it? I think it just goes back to what ACC is about. The injury has to have happened as a result of an accident.
Accident, yeah.
So if you can prove that you sustained the injury from an accident, they should cover it. You do still have to go through the process of your healthcare provider applying to ACC. There are a few forms that need to be filled.
Okay.
One of those forms, like you would have a copy, your GP or healthcare provider would have a copy, ACC would have a copy. So like ACC will still have to assess
those things.
Yeah, they will have to assess your presentation and decide if you are eligible for them to cover you.
That's so if it is really complicated case, right? There are some like touch and go cases, like I cut my hand, you know, while cooking, you know, it's a deep cut. That's ACC, right?
So if you cut your hand while cooking and you've seen your GP or you've gone to the after hours clinic and they can stitch you back and it's fixed and like you have full range of motion, you have good function of your hands. If you don't need any like ongoing management, then there's really no need for ACC. It's only if you have an injury that affects your use of your hands, for example. But that's something that your GP will
determine.
Yeah, so ACC, depending on the type of injury, they may pay a proportion of your medical costs. They may provide assistance with home help, with special aids or equipment. They may provide transport or modifications to your house or car. Or they may provide education, training, therapy, or support as required. So this is really like on a case-by-case basis. It's really if you need it. If it's something that's easily fixed, then if it's a small cut, that
simple accident or complicated and need continuous care to an extent, ACC cover. Am I right to assume?
Yeah. I'm actually just looking on their website now, and yes, you're right. They do say that any physical injury that causes actual damage to your body will be covered. So yes, wounds like cuts, broken or bruised skin is under that. There's burns, fractures or dislocations, dental injuries, hearing loss that happened, for example, in a workplace setting. Maternal birth injuries, like I said before. If there's a concussion or loss of consciousness. Yeah. So yeah.
There are different.
There is a long list of.
Yeah. And it's better to always just check up on the ACC website. That's what their website is called. It's just type in
just
ACC.
Yes.
And then you get the different ranges of injuries, accidents that are covered. Wow, dear listeners, we can see that there is so much to unpack within the New Zealand healthcare system. I remember an adage says that knowledge is power. Sometimes when you are not aware of all this information, there is no way you can live an informed and empowered life. So all this that we have passed on to you today, they are very important. They are things you need to be aware of. ACC, the kind of visa you are on, the kind of benefit that you stand to gain. Now, if you're wondering if that's the end, no, we still have one more part. Thanks for joining me, Morenike, on Bold Women on the Move. I'd like to thank the Rata Foundation and Ministry for Ethnic Communities for their grants which made this show possible. You can help grow the show by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Bold Women on the Move on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with someone who you think will appreciate this conversation. New episode come out every second Friday at 11:30 a.m. on Plains Media 96.9 FM and plains.org.nz. You can also follow Bold Women on the Move on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for more great content. We'd love to hear from our listeners. And if you have a story to share, please reach out. Details are in the show's link tree, which you can find wherever you're hearing this. Until next time, keep moving boldly towards your dreams.